You are now tuned in to Asian Wave 101, your dedicated weekly source for the best and latest of Chinese and Korean pop music, as well as indie music, Asian entertainment news, and special features of talented Canadian artists. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. for CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners. Welcome to Asian Wave 101, your dedicated weekly source for some of the best and latest in Asian music and entertainment news. Happy New Year! I hope you're all rested up after the holidays and you're ready to get back to the regular schedule. For CITR 101.9 FM, I'm Steve Zhang, live in Vancouver from the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. Asian Wave 101 is back after a brief break, and I'm excited for what the new year will bring. Fresh starts, fresh experiences, all that good stuff. So first up, I have Taiwanese girl group Populated. Late last year, the big story on them was the sudden announcement of an online program to determine who will be kicked out of the group. Now, this was around the beginning of October when this was happening. Hilariously enough, the group continued to release material during this period, and one song being today's track. It's titled 我不要, which means I don't want, also called Don't Say Goodbye in English. The song is a story of not wanting to let go, looking for that little bit of solace in a bad situation. The music video for the song is filled with old footage of the group during the early days of their career, all happy and laughing together, and it was meant to show that the girls did not want to be separated like that after everything was said and done, and after almost 2 months of mystery on who would be leaving. They actually ended up releasing an EP still as a complete group. As for the result of the show, that will be revealed in just a moment. Populate with Don't Say Goodbye, first up on Asian Wave 101.
Bye.
That was Populati with Don't Say Goodbye, released in the midst of their competition show to determine who would be removed from the group, to show that they don't want that to actually happen. As for the result, you probably already guessed it. At the promotional event for the EP that came out this past November, November 20th, 2015, at this particular event, their management revealed no one would be leaving. Fans say, of course, that it was a predictable, unsurprising result. Some called the event a fraud, just a really bad publicity stunt. And once you think about it, it kind of is. However, this was around when they switched their image out from being this cute and very bubbly girl group into more refined and sexy and mature. So maybe next time they won't do stuff that people hate to mark a transition into the next phase of their careers. Next up is South Korea's MFBTY, also known as Moof Booty, aka Miss Fat Booty, My Fans Better Than Yours, MF Busy Tiger Yumire. Now, they are a hip-hop trio composed of Busy, Tiger JK, and Yumire, aka Tasha Reid. All three are veterans of the industry, trailblazers, and pioneers in their own right. Busy has been writing and performing for well over a decade as a solo hip-hop artist. Tiger JK is considered the OG of Korean hip-hop, with DJ Shine, the two as Drunken Tiger, were among the first to bring a taste of real hip-hop to the mainstream, writing their own lyrics, no choreographed dances, refusing to sugarcoat their lyrics and their messages. And Yumire, aka T, or Tasha, is the most renowned female rapper in Korea. She is of mixed heritage. She was born in Texas to a Korean mother and an African-American father. It led to extreme prejudice during the early days of her career in the industry, so much that she was actually told by industry executives to reject the African-American side of her heritage, which is something that she addresses in her single Black Happiness from 2007. The track from them today is called 6 AM off their 2015 album Wonderland. Now, this album was a big mix of many different styles. For MFBTY, it's always about doing the music that feels right. Forget about what's selling or what's hot. It's just making music. Now, this one is notable for its generous use of auto-tune to give it that really robot-y voice a la T-Pain. And it sounds a lot like mid-2000s, late-2000s sexy music, like the really chill, more romantic type of sexy music. And this is more of a makeup sort of song, addressing how two people drift apart, but after a while, one decides to be the bigger person, apologizes, realizes they should have been more understanding, and they grow together again. So Yumire sings the chorus, and Tiger jumps on the chorus, doing a little singing himself, and Busy raps the verses. Let's check it out now.
I wanna
That was MFBTY with 6 a.m. I highly recommend checking out the full Wonderland album. It's really one of the most fascinating musical experiences, hearing how they work with all the different genres and doing what feels right. It's just feel-good music, MFBTY. Next up, it's something that you could call Korean indie pop. It's by a singer-songwriter who performs under the name Neon Bunny. Now, she was originally a keyboard player for an indie band called the Black Skirts in South Korea. And over a decade ago, she went overseas to Boston to study music at the Berklee College of Music. And she fell in love with the sort of the indie slash underground band culture in the United States. She returned to Korea and brought a bit of that influence slash culture with her. And she debuted in 2012 with the album Soul Light, which actually won her a Korean Music Award for Best Pop Album. She's very much a do-it-yourself artist. Her time in Boston inspired her to create a collective of indie do-it-all-alone artists called Doggy Rich. And she says that she needs no label, and indie is the key to keeping her music original. The song by Neon Bunny today is called Noya Ya, or It's You. It's You. And she sings about how a dude very obviously has something to say. He wants to let it all out and let it be known. And she knows this. She actually feels the same. And she tells him to stop beating around the bush. Just say it. You know, it's you who I like. So hurry up and say something. Her sound is very electropop. It's very influenced by electropop, very synthy, but in a more restrained sort of fashion. It's really a step away from what you usually hear in K-pop. It's focused on bringing a more lush musical experience rather than being really flashy. So that's coming up next on Asian Wave 101.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips. But are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
We are back here live on Asian Wave 101. If you're just joining us now, welcome to the first show of 2016. I'm Steve Zhang, live in Vancouver for CITR 101.9 FM from our studio on the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. Right before the break was Neon Bunny, indie pop artist from Korea with It's You. Terrific indie artist bringing a new spin on electropop in Korea, different from the usual pop stuff. Go and check her out some more if you like the electro experimental side of things. Up next is a singer who, as an artist, is a bit unique. He goes by the name of B-I-I. He was born in South Korea to a Korean mother and a Taiwanese father. He grew up in Korea, and later in his life, he went to China to find his father and pursue a career in music. He debuted in 2010, and his self-titled EP contained 4 songs, 1 in Korean and 3 in Mandarin. He is fluent in both languages. He's a singer-songwriter, and he often performs his songs in both those languages. Today, I wanted to bring a good example of his usual work, a song that's sung in both Mandarin and Korean, and it's called Love More. It's just a really fun, sweet little pop song. He sings about how love can make you braver, happier. The important thing is to believe in love and to trust that it has that power. He sings in Mandarin and raps a bit in Korean, and we all need a little love in our lives. That's coming up next on Asian Wave 101, and after that is a special Canadian artist, Gina.
I love you.
个心等于 love more， 所以呢，喜欢了，但现在我想要大声地说。
Yeah.
That was B with Love More, and after that was Gina with All Back Off So You Can Live Better. Gina is one of our Canadian artists this week. She was born in Edmonton, Alberta, and she lived here in the Lower Mainland for a lot of her life. And many singers and actors and actresses, they go back to where their parents are from for many reasons, a terrific opportunity there, or just a lack of similar opportunities here. But they go back, they pursue these careers, and many of them go on to have these great, illustrious careers. There are many Asian stars who were born and raised outside of Asia, here in Canada, the U.S., Australia, and many of them do extremely well. So that's another side of Canadian music that we haven't touched on too much here, but it's always good to keep an open mind. And now it is once again that time of the week where we catch up on some of the latest happenings in the Asian entertainment world. It's time for Asian entertainment news. And first up from South Korea in what I like to call traitor news, former EXO member Tao loses a lawsuit filed by former, sorry, my apologies, he loses a lawsuit filed by former agency SM Entertainment. A statement released by SM Entertainment alleges that Tao took what was essentially a loan from the company to be paid back at a specific time. Now, might I mention this, is that this traitor news is actually, the word traitor is actually used more as a joke in this time, in this particular instance, because a lot of people in South Korea don't like it that these former members turn their backs on the groups that they used to be in. So they use traitor as an insult. I use it as a very sarcastic joke. So Tao took a loan and he was supposed to pay it back at a specific time. He did not do so and later filed a lawsuit against his company to nullify his contract. An intermediate court in Qingdao, China, ruled in SM's favor with the verdict that Tao has to pay SM back in full, plus added interest for failure to pay on time. SM adds that we will not dwell on this ruling and will pursue legal action against all actions that are unlawful and violate SM and EXO's rights and interests. We will represent the good intentions of victims and work to prevent damage towards Korea and China's cultural exchanges that was caused because of Chris Luhan and Tao's illegal actions and breaches of contract. So Tao's new representatives responded with a statement of their own, countering by saying that SM did not state the full truth, that the loans were given on a voluntary basis, and incorrect information was given to Tao when the time came to repay the loan, such as an incorrect bank account number being given. Tao's reps claims that SM intentionally used certain wording to tarnish Tao's reputation. They would be taking action to make sure that does not happen. So much of these words I had to find translated, as my language skills aren't quite as good to really glean the full meaning. But knowing what SM has been doing in Korea in regards to the issue of former Chinese members of EXO, Chris, Luhan, and Tao, they've been feeding their supporters the information that Chris, Luhan, and Tao are actually failing and flopping in China, and they're absolutely desperate for cash, and that they're just struggling to keep their careers going. Now, it's obvious that many of their supporters do not pay that much attention to Chinese entertainment, because if they did, they would know that Chris, Luhan, and Tao are anything but failing and flopping. They have many of these companies, they have many companies lined up out the door and around the block waiting for their turn to ask them to endorse their products or their company. And overall, and we have people like Chris, who is now about to film his 7th or 8th movie now. It's extremely hard to keep track because he's been in so many in just the year and a half since he left EXO. So it's more or less that it's fairly obvious to some people that SM is going to milk this for all it's worth, and really kind of play up the media back at home in order to make Chris, Luhan, and Tao look even worse than they actually do. So we'll leave it at that for now. But as for the next story, it's not so much news, more than a critique, which I found interesting. It was posted on Global Times, an English-language newspaper that runs in China, and it breaks down the reasons why sitcoms haven't become so big in China as it is in places like here in Canada and the United States. So sitcoms are, they have been broadcasted in China in the past, but not many of them have gone on to make big money like some of the sitcoms that we have here in North America. And a lot of people have been wondering why that was the case. Now, just to give a bit of history, the sitcom style or genre did not become, did not first, was, it, okay, it was not present in China until about 1994, when that style was kind of brought to people's attention that it actually exists. And it was by a director named Ying Da, and he was actually the director and creator of a series called I Love My Family. Now, this series aired for about 6 episodes before it was taken completely off the air. Many people were saying that it was because they were making fun of retired government officials. But what made it so controversial, and also what made it stick in people's minds, was that it was willing to, in a way, make fun of, poke fun at, and address social realities and government policies at that time. Now, that led to several other sitcoms that Ying Da made in what was called the Ying style, because he is considered essentially, he's essentially the godfather of the sitcom style in China. And through, there have been a few more, but none that have been as prevalent, that has really made it big and made the big money and become a media sensation. Now, you have many of these dramas, these period pieces in China, which have made it very big. Now, a lot of the times, these shows do have very predictable storylines. And what drives those to become really big successes are the big names attached to it, who's directing it, who's writing it, and who's acting in it. Or, even if the story is predictable, seeing the actors really push, kind of really give it that extra kick it needs, that they have such amazing chemistry that people watched just so they could watch the acting, even if they know what's going to happen. So others have said that it's something that the media needs. They need to be able to laugh at the social realities, to be aware of it, and yet derive some sort of pleasure from it. And others have said that it's because people now are just becoming so sensitive that everyone is so keen on making these shows, on making these products that don't affect anyone. But Ying himself said, how can a comedy go on without hurting someone? So it's really interesting, and there's quite a lot to take in. It was a very good critique. I recommend you go and find it. It's an article published on the Global Times, which I found when I was browsing through some extra news. So go and check it out, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got more news and more music on Asian Wave 101. Stay tuned.
Do you like Friends? We like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends at UBC and the West Side, like Australian Boot Company, Dentry's Pub, The Bite Kitchen, Limelight Video, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Tune in Sundays from 9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host, Doran, for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
So we're back after that very quick break here on Asian Wave 101, and the next song that I have is another one of our very special Canadian artists of the week, a Canadian artist who decided to make that jump and go back to the motherland to make his fortune and start his career. Now, he goes by the name of Chris Wu. Now, we mentioned him briefly during the news segment. He is a former member of Korean boy band EXO. He left in May 2014 to pursue a solo career, and he filed a lawsuit asking to terminate his contract on the basis that he was being unfairly treated in South Korea. Now, since then, he has been doing extremely well. He has been acting in so many movies, it's no longer possible to keep count on just how many he's been in, just because it seems that he's had nonstop acting gigs since he went back to China. And he's been releasing songs, and these songs, even though they're not really official singles, they were just part of OSTs for movies and dramas. They broke records in terms of how quickly it charted and just how much it was purchased and downloaded, and it's insane. Now, this song is called There Is a Place, Yo Igatifa, and it's a part of the OST to a movie called Somewhere Only We Know. And it was a bit of a blockbuster in its own right. So he was actually considered the rapper of the group when he was in EXO. But now he is singing, and he does okay. So let's check it out now. Chris Wu with There Is a Place. That was Chris Wu with There Is a Place. Very sweet song, very sentimental ballad, as per usual when it comes to Chinese music. But he sings extremely well, though the question lingers how much of this is fixed in post-production. But either way, he is doing extremely well in China, and yes, he is Canadian. He was born in China, but he lived here for a lot of his life before going to Korea to pursue his career. He's actually from right here in Vancouver, and he went to Sir Winston Churchill High just over the ways. And there's not really much else to say, but of course we have to applaud our fellow Canadians out there for doing their thing wherever it may be. And the next song that I have is from South Korea, and it's by a group called Dal Shabet. And quite literally, it means sweet sherbet. And they released a new song a couple days ago, actually, and it's called Someone Like You, or Someone the Same as You. And to put it simply, it's very retro. It sounds a lot like 80s pop. And this is something that they've done in the past, and they've kind of broken it up here and there. But this is the sound that a lot of people have come to associate with this group. And it's a sound that most people like to hear from this group. It has long since been a consensus that retro Dal Shabet is the best sherbet. Really, this song, they're actually singing about how a person that they may once had feelings for is now someone that's become distant, and they're not afraid to call that person lame. So they're saying that, okay, I don't need you anymore. You go off and go and find someone who's just as lame as you, someone who's just like you. And they're kind of just celebrating that freedom, that escape from a person who just doesn't do it for them anymore. Now, they actually recently lost a couple members when their contracts expired. So they used to be six, now they're back as four. And it's a big change, but it seems that they've already bounced back and they've already found a new formula that works. So let's check it out now. Dal Shabet with Someone Like You.
I'm over here. Dal Shabet. Yeah.
That was Dal Shabet with Someone Like You, the sweet sherbet telling you to go and find someone who's lame just like you. Now, I have a little bit of time left. We're almost done here. A couple more songs before the Arts Report people come in and kick me out. And the next song that I have is by Ame, who is from Taiwan. She is the diva of all divas in Taiwan pop culture. And she's always been known for sort of being a little bit unabashed, who's not afraid to say what's on her mind, and she's allowed to do that because of her status. And the song that she has that I have from her today is called Matriarchy, and it's really just expressing kind of her view that women are not insignificant compared to men, that they have just as much right, that she's just not afraid of saying what's on her mind to even a person who supposedly is who in some societies would say is better than her. She's saying that a suit and tie is not armor, and at the end of the day, what man can exist without a woman to help him? So that's coming up next on Asian Wave 101. That was Ame with Matriarchy, always outspoken, unabashed, and unafraid to try new things. So this song, as you heard, it was very hard rock and influence, a bit different from the usual pop fare that you hear with Chinese music. Now, I'm running out of time. The Arts Report is coming up next, and they have a very special guest on this week, so stay tuned for that. As usual, if you have any requests for me at all, send it over my way, asianwave101@gmail.com. Any thoughts on this week's news or that critique I mentioned, send it over my way, asianwave101@gmail.com. I have one last song to play you out. It's by an indie Korean rapper called Giddy Boy, featuring Moon Swing's Camp. So that will end us off. I'm your host, Steve Zhang. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Asian Wave 101 for CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver from the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. I will talk to you again next week. Take care, everyone.
Urim bunjang nanure, 해변에 밤을 맞이해. Camping을 하고 있어, camping을 하고 yeah. 있어. Yeah, 복잡한 머리 비워. 복잡한 노선지는 지워 이제 남은 건 우리 둘이 보내게 될 시간뿐이지 끝을 버리고 왔으니 이제는 시작뿐이지 너무 삭막한 그 땅을 잊어 이제 밝게 눈을 뜨고 쳐다봐 바다 놀이 너무 빨개 너의 볼 같아 이건 너가 보낸 신호 나을 떠 겨를 키스를 시도 떠오르는 hey. 물씨에 도체 질러는 게 너무 나쁜 거라면 나쁜 놈이 되겠어 캠핑을 하고 있어 캠핑을 하고 있어 우리 yeah. 춤을 춰야 해 음악이 끊기지 않게 고기를 구워야 해 음식이 끊기지 않게 우린 랩을 내야 해 대화가 끊기지 않게 우리 캠핑을 해야 해 여기 인도에서 얘기 폰던지자 바닷가에 오늘은 웃자 후에 따위는 내일 할게 하늘엔 보름달이 떴어 내 잔이 조금만 입혔어 찌끼치 해도 돼 It's okay cause we don't care what people say 아니 그렇다기보단 지금 관중은 별뿐 물속에 들어가면 우린 잠수도 원을 하는 셈이야 이해가 이해가 도모은 걸로 지금 참 비싼 시계참 이것도 숲속으로 너구리야 가져 내일 아침에 또 찾겠지 알지 그래 알아 어쩔 알고 너도 알잖아 난 안 쿨해 대신 열기가 차 손몸이 붉은 Let's take it to another level 잠깐 쉬고 들어보자고
These tracks 떠오르는 물씨에 도체 질러는 게 너무 나쁜 거라면 나쁜 놈이 되겠어 우린 불장난해 해변에 밤을 맞이해 캠핑을 하고 있어 캠핑을 하고 있어 우리 yeah. 춤을 춰야 해 음악이 끊기지 않게 고기를 구워야 해 불씨가 끊기지 않게 우린 랩을 내야 해 대화가 끊기지 않게 우리 캠핑을 해야 해 여기 인도에서
시끄러운 클럽보다 밤하늘의 별 너에게 보여주고 싶어 느껴봐 이 풍경 이 풍경 느껴봐 이 풍경 밤하늘에 그려 너의 꿈과 미래 현실을 도피한 yeah. 우린 우주 이 전체를 즐겨
전체를 즐겨
이 전체를 즐겨 시끄러운 클럽보다 밤하늘의 별 너에게 보여주고 싶어 느껴봐 이 풍경 밤하늘에 그려 너의 꿈과 미래 현실을 도피한 우린 우주 이 전체를 즐겨 시끄러운 클럽보다 밤하늘의 별 너에게 보여주고 싶어 느껴봐 이 풍경 밤하늘에 그려 너의 꿈과 미래 현실을 도피한 우린 우주 이 전체를 즐겨
우리 춤을 춰야 해
이 전체를 즐겨
Yeah.
Everybody, welcome to the Arts Report. Welcome to our first show in the new year. Today we have a wonderful, wonderful review and as well as an interview with a faculty member. Ooh, not gonna tell you who it is yet. Not yet. But welcome. It is January the 6th, 2016. Wow, it's really weird. In studio today you have me, Ashley Park, as your host. I have my really cool, handy dandy Mr.
Hey,
Andy.
That's right, that's me. Hi.
Yeah. And you are listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. We're just going to go right into the review. So yesterday, Andy and I saw this really wonderful Beijing opera called Opera Warriors. It was at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre in downtown Vancouver. It's actually on tonight as well, only for two nights, January 5th and the 6th. It starts at 8 p.m., I don't know if there might be any tickets left, but if there are, go for it. It was so brilliant. Presented by the China Arts and Entertainment Group and Image China, and performed by the talented Hua Jin Dance Drama Ensemble, Opera Warriors is a beautifully displayed narrative about three brothers who are Beijing opera Jingju actors. The three brothers' lives are artfully weaved through glory, love, and death, expressed in a fantastic blend of costume, dance styles, martial arts, and music. Joining our review today is Dr. Stephen Liu, assistant professor in UBC's Department of Theater and Film. He is both advisor to master's and PhD theater program at UBC, an accomplished scholar with a focus on 20th century Chinese and Japanese theater, intercultural performance, and Asian North American theater. His publications include the Method and Drama Anthology of Modern Asian Plays, Performing Hybridity in Colonial Modern China, as well as contributions to the